This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. Ha, ha. I'm too much.
Ha. Yeah. That's a great one.
Very cool.
That is the year without Santa Claus.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, available on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com.
Wisco Paul said, well, at least I don't have to listen to CJ in the morning, and that's a good thing. But it does look like democracy could very well be gone. Love your show. Thank you.
All right. Oh, appreciate thanks. That. Okay. All right. Now, give us a text as well. I know you're participating in the contest, but text us if you have a favorite, ultimate favorite movie, or even a couple of movies.
Christmas
we're going to give
movie.
You our list of favorite Christmas movies.
In no particular, this round robin style, or are we just going to each have
in no particular order?
Ten movies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are we starting at the bottom at 10?
I don't know.
Something like that.
I didn't
Why
really
not?
Put mine in any kind of order. I
well,
love them
that's
all.
That's okay. I'll just throw one in just for the heck of it.
Okay.
Home Alone. Anybody like Home Alone?
Yeah, it was on my list.
Great movie.
Really?
Okay. I've got it at number 3.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Joe Pesci in Home Alone. I mean, he steals that movie.
He does steal a movie.
I just love slapstick. I like seeing people get beat up.
Well, you'll like the Three Stooges. Go back in time, my friend.
Home Alone, a great Christmas movie. Okay.
All right. Well, I guess we can agree with that one.
Okay.
I think it's okay. I don't know. It's just too violent. Why would you want a violent movie for Christmas? What kind of memory does that create?
There's plenty of
nobody dies.
More violent Christmas. There's Christmas horror movies. There's Christmas slasher movies. Yeah. Those are worse than Home Alone.
The Kid is great, and also, oh gosh.
Well, let me bring up a Christmas horror movie, slasher movie, okay?
All right, yeah.
The lovable David Harbour is in Violent Night. He plays Santa Claus.
I've heard of Violent Night. I haven't seen it.
Violent Night is probably one of the best bad Santa movies
I've never heard
ever.
Of that one.
Is Violent it a straight Night. Horror movie or is it like a comedy horror movie?
No, it is. It's kind of both.
Okay.
You know David Harbour is really a cool guy. He played Magneto or no? What? He was in a Marvel movie. He played a Russian superhero,
okay,
who of course was anti-American, and I can't believe I'm forgetting the name because I know these things by heart. But anyway, he is a lovable character, and he makes a lovable Santa, and he kills people in the movie Violent Night.
Okay.
All but right. These are bad people. They deserve it, right?
Would kids like this, or would you want to keep your kids
away
from this?
I would keep them up and force them to watch this, because it's close. It's close to reality.
Insane.
It's so real looking. Okay. Somebody has up here Scrooge, Matt out in Middleton. I have Scrooge
is on my list too. Scrooged.
Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill, that is a great movie.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like it at first when I first saw it, and then I re-saw it and I thought, you know, this is kind of fun.
Well, he plays a television executive, which is really great.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, I was looking more at it as a redo of A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
But it really It's different
thing.
From
it
that.
It kind of stands on its own. Yeah.
It does stand on its own.
Yeah.
So I agree. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm going to just get to the top of my list.
Okay.
It is Scrooge. Alistair Sim is the guy Scrooge. And this is the best Christmas Carol movie you're ever going to watch.
Oh.
All right. You might want to...
is this an older
movie?
I have
a cut. I have cut 56.
Is this an older?
It's a really old movie. It's like from the early 50s.
Yeah, I think
it's 53 or something like that. So let's play. This is a quote from Marley. All right, listen to this.
Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the limits of our money-changing home. Now I am doomed to wander without rest or peace. Incessant torture of remorse.
But it was only that you were a good man of business, Jacob.
Business! Mankind was my business. Their common welfare was my business. And it is at this time of the rolling year I suffer most.
Well, now we're talking about business. We're going business. Our government's
dramatic.
Going business. So mankind was my business. Mm-hmm. Of course, I love the way the English say it. My business.
Business.
All right. Yeah. And this is cut 57. Let's just play this great quote from Scrooge.
Okay.
What can I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, sir, that is my answer. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there.
And some would rather die. If they would rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
That's great stuff, isn't it?
It is.
That is one of the all-time great movies. There are so many different versions of Scrooge or A Christmas Carol. There's an early one. Seymour Hicks was in it, 1935. And this is memorable only because back in those days, they didn't send people off to mortuaries. They basically had them in their home.
Yeah.
And Tiny Tim was upstairs in a bedroom up there. In this particular movie, Cratchit goes up to visit his son in bed.
Okay.
And it was just a really wrenching scene. Mm. Just sad. Anyway, it's my top of the list movie.
Wow.
Scrooge.
Okay.
I just watched that one, actually. We showed it on film at the Cinematheque a couple weeks ago.
Wasn't it great?
It was great. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What's up next? Yeah, what else?
We've got a few suggestions here. Matt out in Midland has said Scrooge, and Gordy's, Neighbors.
Yeah, my Neighbors.
Bad Santa.
That's one. That's my favorite Christmas movie as far as adult Christmas movies.
It's very adult.
It's very adult, especially if you watch the director's cut, if you get the DVD.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
There's even more to that?
Don't bring the kids anywhere near the house. I would send them away.
Wow. Okay.
But it is...
Billy Bob Thornton, right?
Billy Bob is in it, and he's just over the top. And I heard an interview with him, and he actually admitted there were several scenes where he really is drunk in the movie that the director encouraged him.
Wow.
Yeah, why don't you go have a few and come back? He's a bad Santa, and he's out of control. In a department
store. Heavy kid, you know.
Yeah, heavy kid. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't quite understand that character.
Well,
he didn't say much, and then when he said much, it was only to Bad Santa.
But it's, my neighbors picked that one, and I picked it, so maybe I'll have the neighbors over, and we can get some popcorn
and
watch it.
Set up your gazebo out in the backyard.
In the snow.
Enjoy the snow.
Right.
Get in the mood, right?
Why not?
All right.
Let's see. What else is on my list here that wasn't on yours? Well, I have to have a tip of the hat to the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. That's Chevy Chase at his best.
That really is. One of my
he
top
just
movies
carries
as
that
well.
Movie, and it's funny and and his
it has all the cliches that you can imagine.
It even
created cliches for the future.
For a long time, that was my favorite Christmas movie. It's probably not anymore.
But. Well, it's just because they show it so much.
You've
seen it a million times, but it's still very funny. Here's one that you don't think of this. This is a Christmas movie, but Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd.
I saw that on the list.
It's Eddie Murphy.
It's a winter movie.
It happens around Christmas. It's a great movie.
It is.
But doesn't get mentioned.
That's a great movie.
You got another one?
I've got one. How about a Christmas Story?
Oh yeah,
with
yeah.
Peter Billings.
Absolutely,
yeah. That was an excellent movie.
Yep.
Darren McGavin was in that, swearing in a way that maybe that's how we should swear on this show.
You know,
with
you're just, right,
just nonsensical words, right?
Yeah.
Like the way that Joe Pesci swears in Home Alone. He doesn't actually swear; he just goes like,
right.
Oh man,
I got another one here.
All right.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Now, that's a Thanksgiving movie.
Well, no, it's how. Really? I think they're heading home before.
They're trying to get home for Thanksgiving.
No, I think they were trying to get home for Christmas.
I think.
Okay, well, then forget it.
By the way, I want to warn everybody. You know, Christmas Story was a great movie, but there was a follow-up, Christmas Story Christmas. And it's that little kid in Christmas Story is a grown-up adult with his own kids, but it is schlocky. Horrible stuff. Do not watch that. Save yourself.
Okay.
The pain and agony of that. Can we include Grinch Who Stole Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Which one, though?
Well, the one with Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
Oh, the original. Yeah.
That is the absolute top of the line.
Have either of you seen the newest one that's like, well, it's probably 8 years old now? Hmm. 7 or 8 years old?
You mean with... Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey?
No, that one's like almost 25 years old.
Oh, no, that's too old.
Yeah. My mom hates the one with Jim Carrey for whatever reason. Yeah.
No kidding.
He did a great job.
I haven't seen the newest one yet. Either.
He did a great job. Yeah.
I got another one here, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, this that's is on my good
stuff. That wasn't bad.
It's really good.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. The kids will love that one, too. Yeah.
How about this? I like to go back in time. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah.
Edmund Gwenn, who played like, you know, a scientist in all the science fiction movies,
right.
Like, you know, Them, The Attack of the Giant Atomic Ants. But but in this, he was Santa Claus.
That's a good one.
That was a great movie. Oh, Elf?
Yes.
Is that on your list?
It is on my list.
Hot take, Will Ferrell. I hate Elf.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't like it at first, but now I've started to really like it.
You know what?
There's something
about Will Ferrell. He's just funny.
He's just,
you
know,
see him, he's funny. Good. Yep. That's the way it is with me.
We haven't mentioned yet Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, no, it's a TV movie or a TV special. But
it's a TV special, yeah.
I just love it.
Great classic. Yeah. It is. How about Polar Express?
Oh, sure.
Anybody with Polar Express?
Yeah. I'm indifferent to it. A lot of people like hate the animation in it. They think it looks kind of weird.
The animation is really, really well done, except for the eyes. Okay, I'm going to say it. The eyes, just everybody felt uncomfortable about the way they did the eyes in that movie. What happened to them? My goodness.
I don't know.
Watch a better movie. All right. And I got one. It's a new one.
Yeah.
And this is called 8-Bit Christmas.
What?
Neil Patrick Harris is an adult telling his kids about when he wanted a Nintendo back in the 80s, and that was the big gift. And this is truly one of the great forgotten Christmas specials, like Christmas Story. It's in the 1980s Chicago.
What's it called again?
It's 8-Bit Christmas.
8-Bit Christmas. Okay. All right. Good. All right. We will continue. We have some leftovers, I think, we didn't get to.
Yes, we do.
We'll get to some of those coming up. And also, another reminder on the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. The word is North. Text it in. You could win.
Starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much. Too much!
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
He held the elves hostage, and he ground up poor Rudolph into
German Luger, and he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger, and he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue blitzer, and he took a big bite and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy, the night Kris Kringle went nuts. Now you can't hardly walk around the North Pole without stepping in reindeer grain.
Well, the workshop is gone. Beautiful. Weird Al.
That's great, yeah.
I can't believe you guys haven't heard this song.
No. Somehow I missed that one.
I missed that one, too.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com.
How does he keep coming up with them? Weird Al is just a fantastic musician.
I know. He's great.
Songwriter. The whole thing.
You ever seen the movie?
Yeah, the
about
movie.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's funny.
That's a great movie.
Hey,
let's go to Mark. Mark's been holding on here.
Forever.
Yes.
Mark,
forever.
Are you still there? Are you still awake? Mark, go ahead.
Still here and still awake. And The Grinch Stole Christmas is one of my favorites, the first one, the original.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Miracle on 34th Street. And the Scrooge movie is based on the Christmas Carol. It's particularly relevant in this day and age where you've got, we're ignoring, that one of the most terrifying images, if they do it well, is in that movie is not only Jacob Marley, but the Ghost of Christmas Present, when the two children are beneath his robes.
Yeah.
And the description in the book is even more graphic, but the girl is ignorance and the boy is the girl is want and the boy is ignorance. And on the brow of the boy is written doom, because it seems like the current crop of MAGA Republicans that are in are ignoring the needs of the people. I mean, they're ignoring the want, and they're just embracing ignorance. Pure and simple, they're just embracing ignorance, and
well
that's
said.
The road to doom.
Well said.
I mean, it's just where these guys, no farm bill for Christmas for the farmers. I mean, the uncertainty at Christmas time for the farmers.
That's true.
For so many other people, and Donald Trump is wrecking things before he gets in. Why people even listening to Elon Musk, who's made his fortune off of government contracts, is just beyond me.
Musk is a guy who has no worries whatsoever. Billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, no worries, and yet he thinks he can just meddle and give advice to the government, which he doesn't understand, never really participated in, and now he's actually running the government, giving suggestions to Trump, which is the craziest thing of all. But I got to tell you, isn't it crazy how Republicans can sit there and watch A Christmas Carol or Scrooge and not feel a little guilty,
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I don't understand it.
Mark, thank you for your call.
All right.
Got to move along.
All right.
Thanks, brothers.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've got a few other movies we want to get to here. Die Hard, of course, takes place during Christmas, considered a Christmas movie.
I call it a Christmas movie because it happens during Christmas time. It's not about Christmas, but a lot of people watch it during Christmas time. If you watch it only really during Christmas time, then I think it's a Christmas
movie. It makes sense at that point, right?
Anything else?
How about Nightmare Before Christmas? Do love that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop motion. Somebody wrote in and said that was their favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Yeah.
And then, of course...
Is that the Tim Burton?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's... Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas.
What? Wait a minute.
Part of the Marvel Universe.
I don't think we've said It's a Wonderful Life yet, have we?
Well, we should.
Yeah, that's
like
top
a
of
classic
my list. I love
Jimmy
that.
Stewart. Yeah, Jimmy Stewart is best.
I'm not.
Hey, Catherine.
I'm not
here.
A big fan of the movie.
You don't like Jim? What? Who could not like Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed?
I love both the actors, but I just...
Jimmy
the movie
Stewart.
never really did it for me. Isn't that weird?
Jimmy Stewart.
I heard you talk to him earlier today. That was pretty funny.
Thank you.
It was a great show. You have fun?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas. Is that something you saw?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Guardians. I love every movie you've talked about.
The Christmas
show? Yeah.
They
did a Christmas show because Star-Lord was from Earth.
Well,
and they thought they would try to bring a little Earth tradition to Star-Lord, and they wanted to find out about Christmas and bring Christmas to Star-Lord so he could celebrate. And they came down to Earth, and they thought that Christmas had everything to do with Kevin Bacon.
Are you making this up?
Degrees of Kevin Bacon because what? Why?
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, they kidnapped Kevin Bacon and put him in outer space.
Okay.
And then he sings the Christmas song in that. And I don't know if I have it, so.
I got to see that.
Right, yeah. Next time you have Tim Slecker on from Busted Pencils.
Yes.
Broken Pencils, by the way, John.
I know.
Next time you have him on, yeah. Please play that whole dang song. You did such a good job with that. And the lyrics are, I helped with that. And they're funny. And you've got to listen to the whole thing. I realize the intro is a little much for John to have to hang on to through.
I have an attention deficit.
I understand.
We'll
patient.
Play it next time.
Next time.
Okay. We will. But, you know, we only had a little bit of time
and
with
guess
Tim.
So. We're out of time now. But
I wanted to throw in a Colbert Christmas because Toby Keith does a great song in that. Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Right.
Christmas. And Hawkeye. The series on Disney Plus takes place during Christmas.
Excellent.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Okay, it's time to reach back into the John and Gordy archives, and this goes back a few months. We did an interview with Mike McKay.
And he's talking about vertical thinking, a new way to look at politics.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses. Available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Mad Radio, WMDX. John and Gordy, the family show, and John is alone today. No, I'm not. I have Sam with me. He's been hanging out with me. We're sipping coffee.
I'm chained to the desk, as always.
Yes. And a great support. We have as our guest this morning, as we always do on Wednesday, and it's Mike McCabe. Sorry, we're not at Short Stack and the wonderful ambiance of being at that cafe.
I miss the crowd.
Yeah, I just love it there. It's fantastic.
And the clanking of silverware against plates. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff moving around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, the city is alive and well, right? We're going to talk about some very interesting parts of your first book, right, Blue Jean Nation, where you mentioned something about vertical thinking. And by the way, this is a suggestion from Rocker. Now, you know Rocker well, and he said, he has this great thing about vertical thinking. You really have to ask him about it the next time he's in. And so, I paged through it, and I looked through it, and it is interesting. I think we can kind of relate it to what you were talking about recently in your Short Stack blog.
Substack blog.
Substack, rather.
Short Stack's the place we should be. There.
I know. I'm mixing it all up now. In your Substack blog, you were bringing up something about the progress that Wisconsin is well known for. And a lot of it is, or at least being attempted, to be taken down a little bit or repealed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into that a little bit, because I know the vertical thinking thing, we can relate that in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what you were discussing on Substack.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to give
the
people...
The progress that Wisconsin has made.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people a reminder that Wisconsin had a long-standing tradition of leading the nation on public policy making on all kinds of different issues. First state in the nation to create kindergartens, first state in the nation to create a vocational, technical, and adult education system, first state in the nation to create an unemployment insurance program, first state in the nation to create a system for compensating workers injured in the workplace. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin led the way. Social Security was invented here at the University of Wisconsin, and then it was taken national. So Social Security has its roots in Wisconsin. First state to pass a statewide gay rights law. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin pioneered on issues of concern to people in this country, and other states copied us. It's really been about 40 years mm-hmm. since Wisconsin innovated in that way. Yeah, we kind of lost our way.
I got to tell you, I'm a little breathless from what you just said. That is amazing that we led the way in all those really important parts of our lives. It almost makes you think that the Republicans aren't aware of any of that, our history, how we came about putting this in place, and we should be proud of what we did.
We should be proud of what we did, but I would say that the Republicans are acutely aware of that history because they've got a 900-page blueprint to dismantle it all.
Yeah, that's brand new. Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that bothers me at this particular moment, John, is that the Democrats for quite a while now, maybe 40 years, have been playing defense. The Republicans have a very detailed agenda of all the things they want to do. And a lot of it is just dismantling things that served people well. Where's the 900-page agenda for the Democrats? Where's the 90-page agenda for the Democrats? If they can't come up with 900, where's 90? And we've sort of lost that pioneering spirit in Wisconsin. And here the Republicans are holding their national convention in Milwaukee. Milwaukee had its glory days under a string of socialist mayors. And they were known as sewer socialists because they brought sewers to the city. They brought sanitation. Wow. They brought clean water to the cities. But they didn't just build sewers.
Mm-hmm.
They built a system of local parks, public parks, that were the envy of the nation. They built a system of public libraries. So they met the needs at the time that people had. And people didn't care that they called themselves socialists. They wanted progress. And that does bring me to that whole idea of vertical rather than horizontal thinking. We've been trained, we've been programmed to think about politics horizontally, from left to right.
Right.
And we put people on that spectrum. You're on the left, you're on the right, you're in the middle. And we've been programmed to think horizontally about politics. And what that does is it makes people on one end of the spectrum see the people on the other end of the spectrum as the enemy. A really magical thing happens if you flip that spectrum up on its head and think vertically instead.
Right.
Don't think about who's on the left and who's on the right, but think about who's on the top and who's on the bottom. And what happens then is people who might think of themselves as liberal and another person who might see himself as conservative actually are exactly on the same spot of a vertical spectrum.
They are. Yeah.
You got people, and I'm not just talking about people on top having the most money, but I am talking economically, but I'm also talking about political power. Who's got the most power? Who has the least? Who's got the loudest voice? Whose voice is muffled or can't be heard at all?
Mm-hmm.
Who does end up with being the best off, and who's the worst off, and who's really struggling? And there you've got people, some of whom might identify as Republicans, some of whom might identify as Democrats. They're right there at the same spot. They got so much more in common than we've been programmed to believe they do, because we keep thinking horizontally. We keep thinking about who's on the left and who's on the right.
Right.
Instead of thinking from top to bottom. And I that's just the way we've been conditioned to think. Well, if we break free of that and think a little bit more creatively, I think a lot of what we face in this country right now, we're facing multiple national emergencies on so many different fronts. And people are afraid because emergencies are scary.
Yes.
And they want something done. And if the only agenda for action is to basically dismantle the federal government and completely reshape it, that is preferable to an awful lot of people to doing nothing, to just staying the same.
Yes.
We can't have a status quo party at a moment when the status quo is crumbling and breaking apart.
And being dismantled.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing, especially, I think, when it comes to healthcare. I always bring up healthcare as a great example of the problem that we have, and that is healthcare, changing it is what people fear. They hate the system they have now. They're just putting up with it, but they're familiar with it. If we changed it and we had a universal healthcare coverage problem or a system in this country, they're worried that something might be there that they didn't know would happen. They're worried and they don't want to change it. They're afraid of that kind of change. And if you just add to it some fear factors that the cult is doing right now, the MAGAs are doing right now in regards to, perhaps withdrawing some kind of care or rationing. They're always worried about that. And the MAGAs and the right wing does bring that up often in order to put that fear in people. If we change, they're going to ration health care. Even though we self-ration constantly, we all self-ration. We do not see the doctor when we should. We try not to see the doctor because we can't afford it, and we don't have the money to pay for that visit. So it's constantly at odds with the better way of doing things and getting health care. So, you know, it's one of the great fears.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's unfortunate that the Democratic Party, being so afraid of being labeled socialist, not realizing that Milwaukee grew dramatically under socialist leadership, the city was at its best in its glory days under socialist mayors. But now the Democratic Party is afraid of being labeled socialist, so they are afraid of an ambitious approach to healthcare, like a national health insurance program. But hell, not only do people struggle to have health insurance coverage, but in small towns and small cities in our state, they're even losing their hospitals.
They are.
They have no place to go if they do have coverage to get health care.
And there's money to fund them or at least help them survive, and that money has not been released.
Yeah.
The Republicans refuse to release that money.
But the bigger solution, of course, would be raising Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement rates so that hospitals that take those patients can actually do so without going broke.
Right.
And you know, there's this concern about spending money on healthcare, and so people go without medical care. Well, can you blame somebody who doesn't have a hospital to go to when they're facing a medical emergency, thinking, I just want to blow the system up. I want something dramatic to change because I can't. Housing is another huge problem. I can't make rent. I'm a low-wage worker, and I have a hard time paying rent. I'd like to be a homeowner. How will I ever be able to afford a house at the prices today? And then where do I go when I'm sick if there's no hospital in my local community? That's what a disturbing percentage of the population is facing.
Right.
When those conditions exist, my goodness, that's where you need leaders like Milwaukee used to have, who say, you know, we're not going to have contaminated water. We're going to build sewer systems, and we're going to build water treatment plants, and we're going to make sure that people don't get sick when they drink the water that comes out of the faucet. And today we face similar crises, and the only party with an ambitious agenda seems to be the party that wants to dismantle
That's
everything.
That's right. Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point about the socialist in Milwaukee. Let's say the Democrats decided to play up that history. be proud of it.
Right.
Be proud of what they were able to accomplish in Milwaukee, or even in the state for that matter, as socialists. So is it such a bad thing to have? I mean, we all have become used to having that kind of system in place. Now there's talk about dismantling that system because we don't really need it. And it's always tax cuts that are promoted and less spending for the public. And it's weird because we spend our money, we are taxed that money, and all they do is they hold it someplace and then they give a tax cut and the wealthy people get the money back.
Right.
And we don't get the benefits of paying our taxes.
Right.
We're paying taxes. We should get the benefits. It should be spent on us.
Right.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And we should, I really think we should play up the socialist angle. What happened when we were socialists in Milwaukee and in this state, and how we progressed and all of the benefits that we have, and now they're being threatened.
And that word has been demonized.
Yeah, demonized.
And
yeah.
And the socialist has been turned into a boogeyman. But the socialist mayors that Milwaukee had were practical leaders.
Yes.
They just wanted to solve problems, and they wanted to make life better for people, and they did. Mm-hmm. You know, people were drinking contaminated water. The drinking water was blended with the sewage, and people were sick.
Yeah.
And so they said, let's build sewer systems and let's build water treatment plants so that the water that people drink is actually clean and won't make them sick. And let's build public parks so people have a place to recreate. And let's build public libraries so people who can find books that maybe can't afford one in a bookstore, but they can go find one at a public library and expand their horizons that way. They were very practical leaders, and they grew Milwaukee. Milwaukee grew explosively and has really been in decline since the era of socialist mayors went away.
Man, you just summed it up. I mean, you should just write the platform, the frame. The frame is very important, and you just came up with the frame. That's how it should be framed. That's the offensive that we should be on. At this point, we've got Mike McCabe in the studio. ABN House is his Substack blog, and we'll be right back with more on the John and Gordy Family Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John and Gordy Show. Gordy's out sick today. And we're taking your calls as well. Mike McCabe is our guest right now, and we have some callers who might have a few comments about what we've been discussing here, and that is to take the more progressive approach to things, or the more socialist approach, where a lot of things got done in the state that we should be very proud of nationwide. We should be proud of it. And if we just played it up a little bit, maybe people would be more convinced about keeping some of the stuff we've already put in place. So let's go to the phone lines here. Mark first on the John and Gordy Family Show. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, something, Captain. It popped in my head, but Paul Weyrich back in the 70s was complaining about too many people voting, and he was complaining about too many people believing in good government. And the whole purpose of government is supposed to be good government, to provide for the people. I mean, even going back to the Declaration, which some of these Republicans, they like to mouth some of the words of, but they don't seem to understand, is that one of our beefs against the British government at that point in time was not providing services for the American people. We're paying the taxes, but that's not getting laws passed for the good of the people.
And again, I've mentioned this before. I think tax cuts take money out of the general fund. Spending on the public also takes money out of the general fund. Pick which one you think you can benefit from. All right, Mark, I appreciate your call. Let's go to Kurt now on the other line. Thanks for calling the Family Show. What do you got, Kurt?
Good morning. I think you're missing a key component to the breakdown. If you look back, I was born in the 60s, Kennedy, and I'm not as good as Mark at quoting things, but Kennedy basically messages, what can you do for the government, not the other way around. Then Reagan came along, and said the government is the problem, and we need to reverse that. And then things are kept in checks and balances, because back then we actually had a news force that was accurate and fair. And now the Republicans, for the longest time, have dismantling classes in high schools and grade schools, civics as an example. And you have a growing mass of people that are no longer have critical thinking skills. And in the news, Wisconsin, 50-year-old people and above think that Biden is going to take away their Social Security and Medicare. I mean, if you don't have a voting base that's capable of critical thinking and rational thinking, you can try to do everything you possibly can. It's not going to change it. So the root cause, as far as I'm concerned, are the people pulling the levers, the voters. Mm-hmm. How are you going to change that mechanism?
That's a very good question, Kurt. What do you think, Mike?
Well, as I mentioned before, Wisconsin created the first kindergartens in the country and the first system of vocational, technical, and adult education in the entire country. Civic education was an invention of people with foresight, mm-hmm. who realized that if we're going to govern ourselves in a democracy, we have to be educated. And we have to understand the workings of government. Well, civic education has been more or less dismantled. Mm-hmm. It's not
treated
seriously.
Well, they require a civic test in order to get out of school.
Yeah, but there is virtually no civic education compared to what we used to have.
Yes.
There's
yes.
been so much emphasis on math and science, and you know, civic instruction has just been sort of pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. Well, there were people with great foresight many years ago, generations ago, who said, we've got to have a robust system of civic education, and we have to have a free press, a diverse free press, so that there's information for the people to make good decisions when they go to the ballot box. If we're going to govern ourselves into democracy, we have to have that. And there's been decades now of attacks on those systems. Well, now we have to reinvent these things, and we have to talk ambitiously about what we need to build, mm-hmm. As people did generations ago. And they convinced the American people that these were vitally important things, and they were put in place in places like Wisconsin. And then other states looked at Wisconsin and said, let's do that, because that state has right. it together. That state's going places. Let's do that. And Wisconsin's lost that pioneering spirit. So the caller's right. You know, there are many dimensions to the problem, many emergencies that need attention. But we currently have political leadership that's sort of saying, well, let's keep things constant. Let's just keep things the way they are. And then you've got another political force in this country that's saying, no, let's just dismantle it all.
Yeah.
Let's just tear it all down.
Yeah.
And that resonates with a lot of people who are frustrated, who can't make enough money to make rent. They don't even have a hospital to go to when they get sick. They're living in unacceptable conditions as far as they're concerned. And if the option is staying put or blowing stuff up and dismantling mm. things, they'll take the dismantling.
Right. Try something different.
Yep.
And that's what it's always been about.
Yep.
I think at the same time, we have so many media sources now. And I think maybe everybody is being inundated to the point where they're just checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a party that's saying they're all fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So you have too much information. People check out because too much information is out there. And then another source is saying it's all fake news anyway. Why pay attention? So they're just listening to what people say to them. They're not looking into the facts or yep. what's behind it. And no one ever expected to have a party that just lied, just purely lies, and makes it sound like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think the founding fathers even imagined something like that happening.
Yeah, well, you know, propagandists are on the march, you know, and when facts are shared, they say those are fake. And then they lie through their teeth and claim that it's the solemn truth. That calls for robust education.
Absolutely.
So that people can see through that.
Well, I hope we can help people out a little bit here on the program. Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us. Abion House on Substack, not short stack. And I appreciate you being here this morning. Thanks for joining us, the John and Gordy Family Show. We'll be back again tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.